This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Commerce and Energy will now come to order. Welcome everybody here today. Welcome those that are listening over the internet. The usual warning, if you have a cell phone, laptop, notebook, please turn the sound down so it does not disrupt the testimony or discussion. And with that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Beal,
here.
Johnson,
here.
McCleary, excused. Milstead,
here.
Ms. Gibbons,
here.
Perry,
here.
Sullivan, excused. Wagnus,
here.
Weiss,
here.
Willitson,
here.
Zickman, excused. Gosh, excused. Rounds,
here.
We do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. I do know. It's that time of year where people are in other committees right now testifying on their bills. So people will be coming in and out during the course of the committee here. Hopefully we'll get most everybody back. I know Representative McCleary will not be here today. And with that, who was a good person this weekend and read the minutes? Representative Carl Perry, do you have a motion?
I'd like to approve the minutes, please.
We have a motion by Representative Perry to approve the minutes, seconded by Representative Beal. Discussion on the minutes.
They were outstanding.
Thank you. And I will add, our secretary does a very good job of getting the minutes done.
Let's give her a hand.
Oh. We'll do that later.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is a voice vote. All in favor of approval of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. Again, welcome everybody here today. If you are going to testify, have anything to distribute to the committee, have the pages assist you with that. If you're going to testify, be sure to sign in, and they will get us the list up here up front like they're doing right now. I appreciate that. And with that, we do have two pages in their final week. First week went kind of fast, didn't it?
Yeah.
Would you come on up to the mic, identify yourselves, tell us where you're from, plans after high school.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sarah DeYoung. I'm from Sioux Falls. I'm a senior at Sioux Falls Christian High School. I plan to go to Dort University to major in business with a double minor in political science and Spanish, and then law school.
My name is Caitlin Winberg. I am from Canova, South Dakota, but I go to McCook Central. Next year, I plan on going to SDSU for environmental science.
Go Yotes.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for the service you're giving to the legislature. We are going to take everything in order that's on the list here, but I'm going to talk about Senate Bill 83. There has been a request to hold Senate Bill 83 over till Wednesday, and there's some discussion of an amendment, and then also some discussion about the bill that's floating around over in the Senate. What I'm going to do when we get to Senate Bill 83, if there's somebody who would like to testify that won't be able to testify on Wednesday, I will allow that. But in the meantime, we're going to defer all final action on that bill until Wednesday. And with that, we will move to the bills in front of us, Senate Bill 146. Senate Bill 146 is an act to revise provisions related to tribal identification cards. Chair will ask for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 146.
He hunting wash day, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Troy Heinert, District 26. I bring to you Senate Bill 146 that clarifies the use of tribal identifications through acts of commerce. Now, our tribal IDs are valid to vote. They're valid to do banking. They're a valid form of ID to even present to get a driver's license. But in some instances in South Dakota, certain places of business were not accepting this form of identification. So what we did is we worked with retailers, and they will be testifying as well as a proponent about that these IDs, tribal IDs, are a valid form of age verification. That's just for acts of commerce. You'd be able to rent a room, purchase alcohol or cigarettes, any age-restricted product. And when you ask for an identification at a business, present your tribal identification. It is a valid form. I passed out an application for enrollment. This is from the tribe that I'm enrolled in Rosebud Sioux Tribe. And you can see about halfway down on that sheet, when you get a tribal ID, you have to provide either the original or a certified copy of your birth certificate. So there is no, we can't, you know, say this is who we are without providing an original or certified copy of your birth certificate. And I would also add that when we get a tribal ID, or in order to get a tribal ID, you have to be enrolled in the tribe. And on the back side of this sheet, which I didn't include, you have to prove three generations of who you were. So no other form of ID goes back as far as what a tribal ID does to prove you are who you say you are. So I will stand by for any questions. I hope that was long enough for you, Representative, and short enough for you, Representative.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. We may have you come back up for questions. So, further proponent testimony.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Doug Abraham. I'm an attorney from Peer and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. As Senator Heinert said, I wanted to thank him for working with us on this bill and clarifying we had an amendment on the other side. SB 146 provides the necessary clarity for retailers for any age-restricted purchase. Tribal IDs have come a long way in the past, decade or so. They are in much improved quality and security. The last section of the bill I want to speak to specifically, it incorporates the safe harbor provisions found in both the tobacco and alcohol sections of the code. Those make reasonable reliance a complete defense to any prosecution. But most importantly, I think this kind of clarifies that any retailer can rely on a tribal ID for an age-restricted purchase. If you look at the existing section of the code here, 154.7, that had already been clarified for other purposes, including banking or financial. If we think it's important to clarify and add to that so that we have the level of reliance that we can make recommendations to all of our members that they need to go ahead and use these tribal IDs for all purchases, and that you have the safe harbor provisions so you can feel comfortable doing so. We think this is an important clarification and provides a necessary balance between permissiveness as well as protection for retailers. So we'd encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 146?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Representative Puri Puya, representing District 27. I'm here to represent my constituents and the Oglala Sioux Tribe in supporting SB 146. This bill is not only that it's a valid form of ID and it passes real ID standards, but it also is great for the economy, local and broad. We have we have a lot of members who live in the rural areas of South Dakota where they only have a tribal ID. It's easier and cheaper to get a tribal ID. And then we have a lot of businesses that follow state law, and not all the time do they accept a tribal ID. So this is better for the local economy in the middle of the reservations, but also when there is travel, they spend their money in Rapid City, Sioux Falls, Mitchell, Pier. And so this would also be a big contributor to those areas as well. Thank you, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 146?
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ross Garlick Bell. I represent the Crow Creek and Yankton Sioux tribes. Unfortunately, the chairman weren't able to get over here this morning because they have counsel themselves, but they wanted to make sure that they rise in support of Senate Bill 146 is a good move to allow their members more flexibility and access to services in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any additional proponent testimony for Senate Bill 146? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 146? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to committee questions. No need for rebuttal, Representative Wagnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one quick question, Senator Heiner. Thank you for this your application here. Is that relatively uniform throughout all the tribes? They all use about the same
Senator?
Mr. Chair, yes, though they may have unique to their tribe, but all of them have to have a valid birth certificate. Some of them may require you prove your lineage back even further.
So are these are accepted on all the different tribes? I mean, the tribes accept them in all the other places. And
Mr. Chair, correct.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I interrupted.
That's fine. Any other questions, Representative Willardson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also for Senator Heinert. Senator, the last sentence in the bill, it says reasonable reliance upon a tribal identification card as proof of age, etc. It seems to me that the word reasonable waters down the effect of this statement. If it were to just say reliance upon a tribal identification card, it seems to me that it would make it much stronger. So would you comment, please?
Sure, Mr. Chair. And I believe, and maybe Doug can help me, if that's okay.
Sure.
But I believe this is matches state code on other forms of ID.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Willardson, yes, it does match the other safe harbor provisions in the alcohol and tobacco sections of the code. But it's also important that reasonable reliance is included. Otherwise, I could show up with another tribal member's, you know, if hypothetically I were a tribal member, I could use someone who was of age, who's another tribal member, use their ID incorrectly, and it wouldn't be a reasonable reliance on it. So reasonable, as interpreted in these sections of the code, is what a reasonable person would do under similar circumstances. So this makes it at least have that level of reliance where you're not just using any random ID for that purpose. It's at least, based on the initial inquiry, sufficient in providing a similar photograph and identifying the same individual, much as how we would rely on any other state ID as well.
Follow up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. Secondly, it was stated that, you know, the tribal card, you know, can be used as identification when you go to vote. I was trying to look for the statute and see if it was listed as one of the identifications that you can use to vote, but I couldn't find it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Heiner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and that's a great question. I don't have the statute in front of me, but Senator Kevin Killer, back in probably maybe 2010 or 2012, had passed that in 2011, that tribal IDs are a valid form of identification while voting.
Okay, thank
so
you.
So it's in statute, I just don't recall the number. Scratch that. SDCL 12-18-6.1.
Thank you.
Any further questions, Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the sponsor, Senator Heinert, I'm not that familiar with these, and so I'm kind of wondering, is there a uniform expiration date or a length of time that these are good for that applies to all tribal IDs?
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
So a few years ago, tribes had to become compliant with the Real ID Act, and that's where you had to include the hologram, an expiration date, though I don't know how you expire being Indian short of dying, but that is, so all of those are included with a tribal ID now.
Follow up. So is there any limit to how long they can be good for with the way that the code is written right now?
Senator? Mr. Chair, that would be written within the Real ID Act, so it matches just what driver's license and non-voter ID cards as well. Those time frames are the same. So obviously we don't all get them, you know, every 5 years. It depends on when you go in, apply for your, get a new ID, and then within a certain amount of time, Rosebud's, I think, is probably 5 years, and you'd have to go in and get a new one reissued.
Okay, Representative Milstead.
Thank you, Senator Heinert. So you can you can vote because you have a picture ID, but you still can't use this card to register to vote.
Senator, Mr. Chair, correct, because no ID is required to register to vote.
You have a follow-up, Representative Milstead? Representative Weiss?
I have a question for Doug Abrahamson.
Yes.
Thank you. My question, with South Dakota driver's license or our ID, we've done a lot of work over the years for age verification. If you're under 21, your driver's license is vertical rather than horizontal, highlighting dates and stuff like that so that retailers can very quickly see what the age, if this person is legal or not. How does the organization you're representing feel about the tribal IDs, and I don't know, do they have any of that kind of date, or is this going to be something we're going back in time to looking at, trying to find birth of dates and stuff like that?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. Mr. Abraham.
Representative, the Retailers Association is satisfied both from a real ID compliance standpoint. As Senator Heiner had indicated, all tribes are moving. I'm not sure the level of real ID compliance, but the idea is to have them all real ID compliant. And the real ID compliance is important for a number of factors because it sets forth, I think there's 7 or 9 factors that go into that. One of those is photograph. The other is, has your date of birth. It's scannable on the back. It also has a couple, I think, forms of security. So we were comfortable with that. You know, our retailers have to be able to take identification cards, driver's license from every state in the union already. Adding 9 tribes to that is not too burdensome so long as they have a photo ID and the date of birth on the front. And that was our primary concern here. And the tribes have, like I said, they've come a long ways. I'm not sure what the percentage of real ID compliance is. I know they're working towards 100% there, but they've certainly come a long ways. You know, if the FAA is sufficient for boarding, plane boarding, things like that, you know, I think our retailers are more than satisfied that those requirements are met. And if you look at the average tribal ID, it's very clearly states a date of birth along with a photo.
Follow-up? Representative Johnson, you got a follow-up question?
It's not a follow-up to my initial question, okay. But I do have another question.
Go ahead.
For the sponsor. This is for purchasing. It says age-restricted products. Can you explain to me how this would work when purchasing a firearm?
Mr. Chair.
Senator, go ahead.
Well, obviously you would have to all follow all the federal firearm rules on as far as background check, but this would be no different. And I believe you received a copy of what all 9 tribes' IDs look like in South Dakota. They all have a picture. They all have a date. You'd have to follow all the federal rules in purchasing a firearm. This is, and where age verification is needed, this would be a valid.
Follow up.
Oh, and possibly Representative Puryear may have a better answer to your question.
Let's follow up that same question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have one follow up on that. So would this change the current statute so that tribal IDs would be valid for purchase of a firearm where currently they are not?
I'll turn it over to Representative Puryear, if that's okay.
That's fine. And I'll allow Latitude to also answer the previous question, but go ahead and address this question here.
Mr. Chair, thank you. In researching this piece of legislation, we did do the homework regarding that question specifically. This would not change any federal law at all, because federal law is the law that you would follow to purchase the ID. So in doing the homework to answer your specific question, we called several gun shops around South Dakota, and we asked the question, can I buy a firearm with a tribal ID? They stated, no, you cannot, because it's not a federal government issued ID. We also called alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and their response was, no, you cannot, because the tribes aren't a government. So that's the answer that we got from, and we also looked at the statutes, 18 U.S. code, and I'll have to get that exact code for you, Representative. But the definition of federally issued IDs, tribal governments are not in that statute. They list foreign governments, they issue national IDs, they say state, subdivisions of the state, but federal recognized tribal governments are not in that statute.
Follow up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you're stating then, if I'm correct, that these tribal ID would not be valid with regard to the purchase of a firearm by itself?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Representative.
No. The way they interpret the federal statutes.
Any other questions of the committee? Representative Zickman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the retailers, you should have just stayed up here, Doug.
Extra chair in here.
Doug, how are the retailers going to handle all the businesses, et cetera, that you have in the state on the educational aspect of this, and how are you going to get that through to all your businesses?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Abraham.
Thank you, Representative Zickman. Well, the Retailers Association right now has in excess, I believe, 4,000 members. And we also have monthly education. We have weekly newsletters that go out. This would certainly be, and I discussed that actually over in the Senate with the chair, who'd asked the retailers to actually put out something to our membership on that. I know that's anticipated. Should this pass, that we would provide advice concerning the changes to the code, what's required, and a little advice in that regard to our retailers. There are already best practices that are out there for retailers. This doesn't really – we think it's a really important clarification, and it's important to allow – we have a lot of tribal members where it's much easier to get a tribal ID from a geographic standpoint, not necessarily from a requirement standpoint. There's still stringent requirements. However, getting to a driver's license station, if you're, you know – living up on Standing Rock or somewhere like that can be a bit more difficult than other locations. So we think it's important. It's readily available in those locations, and there's sufficient security there. Adding, you know, the 9 tribal IDs that are going to be contemplated here, we don't think is a significant burden. Our retailers already have to deal with foreign IDs and, you know, the 50-state varying. Granted, they're all real ID compliant, but they all vary in appearance. So we don't think that that's a significant burden, but we will engage in an education campaign for it.
Thank you. Follow-up, Representative Zickman. Okay. Representative Weiss?
Maybe you're not the right person. Maybe I need to go to the prime sponsor, but I heard 9 tribal IDs. I don't see anywhere in here where it says South Dakota tribal IDs. There's more than 9 tribes across the nation. Do they not have tribal IDs in other?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Abraham.
No, Representative, I believe that would be true. I'd be opening up. It wouldn't be discriminatory based on just our resident tribes. It would be opening up broadly. However, we don't think that that's – and I got this from Representative Poirier. I believe all of the South Dakota, the 9 tribes of South Dakota are already real ID compliant, and that's a national trend heading that direction. The important part about real ID compliance is that they're uniform in that they provide that visual picture. They have the date of birth right on there, and it's not asking too much from a retailer to view it, match the photo ID, and look for the date. So I don't believe that that's an issue that is going to
I was
present
just
a problem.
Wanting to clarify that it was whether it was a 9 or if it was any tribal ID that meant compliance.
No, I believe it would be. I don't think it would be restricted to a South Dakota physically present, I should say, tribe.
Representative Gosh,
for the prime sponsor, please. I haven't talked to him in a while, so I wanted to. Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the banking industry, when there were identifications brought in that people weren't comfortable with, whether it be foreign or whatever, they had the ability to reject, say, that identification, retail, business, whatever, whatever. In the event that they were to do that, if they don't feel comfortable, the individual doesn't feel comfortable, say the single mom working at midnight at a gas station doesn't feel comfortable, is there anything? I think I know the answer because it says reasonable reliance. But is there anything that says that she could go to jail if she doesn't accept it?
Mr. Chair, no. That the amendment that was added just clarifies that tribal IDs will be treated the same as state IDs. If there is reasonable doubt, you can say this isn't you, or this is expired. You don't have to accept it if there is reasonable doubt. This just clarifies. So we treat IDs from Connecticut to South Dakota to California, and our tribal nations the same.
Follow up?
Nope.
Senator, could you follow up on the question from Representative Weiss about other nations, the tribal ID from Minnesota or
sure.
Utah or something? Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question. So when the Real ID Act was formed, they did a big push for tribes all across the nation to update their ID procedures, compliance, what they look like, making sure they had the watermark, the expiration date. So that has been a big push nationwide. There's 437 recognized tribes across the nation. So, all of them are at various stages of where they're at within the compliance. But, a majority of these commerce interactions are going to come from people right here in South Dakota.
Okay, follow up with insight.
I just want to clarify that I did see it laid down in later in the bill that it identification card issued by South Dakota tribal government. So it is just a 9 as far as I can see here. So
okay.
I just wanted to make sure that got cleared up so that I did see that in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a correction because I had asked the question about what part of statute it appeared that listed a tribal identification card as evidence to vote. And the correct statute is 12-18-6.1. It was said 6.2, but it's actually 6.1. So just in case anybody was listening and looking. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the prime sponsor. Are you able to travel internationally using a tribal ID?
Senator?
Mr. Chair, yes, you are. You're able to get on a plane. You are able to I use my tribal ID when I go rodeoing in Canada. It doesn't even require a passport.
Can I follow up on that? Are you still rodeoing at your age? So you don't have to answer that one. Do you have a follow-up, Representative Sullivan? Representative Johnson?
Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chair and Senator Heiner. So I was just trying to get some information here. So I'm being told that to purchase a firearm or to travel, that if it's not a federally recognized form of identification, you may not use it. And we heard that you may not purchase a firearm, but are you saying that it does apply to traveling but not to firearms?
Mr.
Representative or Senator, either of you two can answer it.
So TSA, it says adult passengers 18 and over must show a valid identification at the airport checkpoint in order to travel. And in one of the lists, a federally recognized tribal issued photo ID. So we have tribes in the country. Some are federally recognized. Some are not. Some might be state recognized. So that those wouldn't be eligible. The 9 tribes in South Dakota are all federally recognized tribes. So that's why we're allowed to use our tribal IDs for travel.
Follow up.
And this is straight from the TSA.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if, let's say if this passes and this becomes the law of the land, would any businesses that have reason to be skeptical, like a pawn shop or like a gun shop or something, would they be breaking the law by refusing this as a valid form of ID and demanding some other form that they believe is more federally recognized?
Senator?
Mr. Chair. Well, I guess my question would be the same back to you. If you refused a state-issued ID for whatever reason, could you be in trouble by refusing that ID? Now, is someone going to take it to that level? Probably not. If you deny the use of a tribal ID at a pawn shop, but if you deny the use of a state ID at a pawn shop, that was a, and somebody said, I've showed them this ID, this is me, and they came back, you know, they're going to say, well, why did you refuse that state issued ID? So this just treats them the same.
Follow up, please. But when I was discussing this with Representative Poirier, she did indicate that it would not be valid for a purchase of a firearm. So can you understand that there would be reason for confusion within retailers over whether they are following the laws, especially when purchases are made that require federally recognized IDs in this, let's say, in this period where people are getting used to it? Can you understand where there might be some real confusion over that?
Senator, can you address that? I can, and I guess when you purchase a firearm, you have to fill out a background check coming from that point of business, and you have to have a federal license to sell that firearm. And the rules that pertain to selling that firearm are different than going into the gas station and buying cigarettes. We don't make somebody fill out an application or a background check to purchase cigarettes. We show them an ID. Clerk looks at it, says, yeah, that's you. You're old enough. Here's your cigarettes. A firearm purchase is a completely different purchase that would require other forms of scrutiny, not just your ID, but it'd be the background check. It'd be all the other things. And you sell firearms, so you would know. But and if someone comes up to you with a tribal ID to purchase a firearm, you'd say, I can't sell you this firearm using this ID because it doesn't match other federal guidelines in purchasing a firearm. Now, if they came in to purchase a trinket, a watch, and you needed an ID for that, you would say, okay, this is your ID. I can accept that.
Go ahead, last one. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So can somebody explain to me what the difference is, what the nuance is, where this ID would not be valid for purchasing a firearm, but it would be valid for international travel?
Senator?
I will if you won't.
Please, I can't explain it any... Well,
there are different, if I may, there are different guidelines for purchases of a gun versus travel out of... There's different guidelines, and... Under the purchasing of a firearm, you have different guidelines, which also includes a background check that you have to submit to. Maybe someday those rules will be changed, but right now they haven't been changed or addressed. At some point, you got to remember this is the federal government you're talking about. So, okay. Representative Milstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry. You have to have a driver's license to drive, right? A state-issued driver's license to drive, correct?
Mr. Chair, you should.
So why would you not just present that versus a tribal ID card just to make it easy?
Because maybe you caught a ride. You don't have to drive to go purchase. Many of our tribal citizens don't have a driver's license. They don't drive. My grandma never drove. My grandpa hauled her everywhere she needed to go. And prior to that, it was team and wagon until she was 18. So she never had a driver's license. But she did have a tribal ID. We have many people who don't have driver's license. And where I live, it's hard to... We'd have to drive 40 miles to one way if you were from Mission alone. If you're from Mission, you have to drive to Winter to go get your driver's license or a non-photo ID card. Whereas you can go to Rosebud and get a tribal ID card.
Representative Milstead, did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Representative Carl Perry, ask your question.
For the sponsor, thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a very interesting bill. I had a couple.
State the question.
The question is, you know, you talked about the Real ID Act and all this. If we approve this, is it going to make it more confusing or less confusing for the people that are receiving this for information in the store or anywhere that would use a travel ID? Is it going to be easier or not as easy?
Mr. Senator? Chair? I believe it would make things much easier. Because right now, and sadly, some businesses are using this provision in the law to discriminate. Maybe they don't want access. Maybe they want to deny you access to your club. Or maybe they don't want to. They don't want your business because you're native. Simple as that. And so they'll look at your ID and they say, no, we don't accept these. Even though it's valid, even though it has complied with everything that a state ID has done, and it's just being used as discrimination. And this is what this bill does. It says if you have a valid ID and the clerk has a reasonable thought that this is you and this is your birth date, they're protected. You can make the purchase, and everybody go on their merry way.
Representative Perry, do you have a follow-up?
Yes, I do. Mr. Chair, for the sponsor again, if I get a South Dakota tribal ID and I'm not a resident of South Dakota, I can get a South Dakota tribal ID because the tribes aren't just in South Dakota. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair.
Senator?
Correct. You don't, just because you're a tribal member does not mean you have to live in South Dakota. But your address would reflect where you live. Your birth date still remains the same. You still have to produce, if you were born in California, but you are a Rosebud tribal member, you still have to produce a state-issued birth certificate saying you are who you are.
Brother Perry, you follow?
That's good. Thank you very much.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you, Senator. I'm going to close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 146. Representative Gosch.
Move to pass.
We have a motion from Representative Gosch to pass on Senate Bill 146. That is seconded by Representative Beal. Comments on that motion, Representative Gosch.
Yeah, you know, going through it, I had some concerns that I think were answered by the proponents of this bill. It makes sense. These are identifications that completely do justify the age, especially when we're talking about what we're talking about. To the proponent's point of not everybody owns a vehicle, that's a fact. I mean, that is actually a pretty large fact over on many of our reservations. So I think this is a good bill. I think it's been vetted properly, and I would urge you to vote yes.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Johnson, did you have a comment you wanted to make on this? I know during the course of the discussion there you mentioned something. Go ahead.
Sure. I was just checking with my manager at our store just to find out. He's got real concerns because he's not sure whether this – because South Dakota has different kind of restrictions versus the federal government, and the federal government has very strict restrictions on travel and firearms, and I guess I haven't had that clarified in my mind well enough, but I like the bill, I like the intent, and I think it probably deserves a debate on the floor. So
thank you, Representative, and I'm going to, before we move on, I'm going to comment as to your questioning on here is, you know, the way that it's or federal aged related purchase is kind of questionable in the bill. But then I go back to somebody could turn down my ID, my driver's license, because it looks, you know, they just don't feel comfortable with it. So different guidelines. I don't know. That's our federal government. Go ahead.
So my biggest concern wasn't so much that somebody would do it for bad purposes. It would be, they're used to certain operating within certain guidelines, especially in a firearm shop over ATF rules, and the concern over whether they're going to get in trouble by accepting something or not federally. That is the big concern. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments on the do pass motion? Any other comments? Seeing none, I do believe it's a good bill. The key for me is the line about complete defense to any action brought against a person for the sale. You can hear, like it's been talked about, you can deny the ID like you can deny anybody else's state driver's license because it just doesn't look right. But it gives them, you know, if everything looks right, you have that ability to accept that ID. I think this bill is a, you know, it's the next step from the in 154.7, which was, I think, passed in 2011. Maybe this step should have been done a little sooner, but I really like the bill where it's going. I'd ask you for your support on this one. Okay, the question is, do pass on Senate Bill 146. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
McCleary, excused. Milstead. Perry.
Aye.
Excuse me, I skipped Miss Gibbons, please.
Aye.
Sorry. Sullivan.
Aye.
Wagsness.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
12 yay.
Having an affirmative vote of the committee, House or Senate Bill 146, and move to the floor with a due pass recommendation, unless there is any objection. I will put it on consent. Is there any objection? Okay, so there is objection in the committee. Therefore, Senate Bill 146 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be placed on the debate calendar. And we will now move on to our next bill, which is an interesting bill for House Commerce Committee. Senate Bill 162, an act to provide limitations on the use of lighting equipment while hunting. The chair will ask for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 162.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jordan Youngberg, District 8, Senator from Madison. Kind of worried about getting up in front of this committee to begin with and then to talk about guns again. I don't know. Senate Bill 162 came to me this last summer. There was one constituent from my district that had brought up some language stuff that had to deal with a bill that we had passed out, I believe, 2 years ago in the ag committees that had to do with hunting coyotes using night vision. One of the things that was brought up was using the artificial light in conjunction with the night vision scope, optics, that kind of stuff. So what I did is I made a call to the South Dakota GFP, worked with Mr. Roebling all summer trying to figure out language that works for them, to just basically bring the statute up to say, hey, you can hunt the coyotes. It doesn't change anything about landowner permission, anything like that. It just says you can use the technology of artificial light in conjunction with the scope. And then talking with him, there was another section that then if you go down to, that's the first, the second section of the bill has to do with that. The first section of the bill has to do with trapping. They were also working with Representative Livermont, which I don't think he's here today, on checking the traps with being able to use a light to check your traps. So on land right now, a landowner can use a spotlight to check their traps. What this bill is, it just moves that a step further. It says if you have permission from the landowner, you can also use a light to check your traps. So that in essence is what the bill does. We did have to amend it. There was an amendment that went on in Senate Ag on bringing the two sections language together. We found out when we went to the Senate floor it was a good amendment, but we went the wrong way with it. So we had to re-amend it to go bring the language back up to the other section. And so that's what that bill, that's what this bill does. I'll stand by for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any other proponents? Senate Bill 162.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is John Katilnik, staff attorney for Game Fish and Parks. We rise in support of Senate Bill 162. As currently defined in statute, the definition of night vision equipment is too narrow and excludes such devices like thermal imaging. The proposed language is more inclusive and takes into account future technology as it develops and becomes available. Senate Bill 162 also addresses the issue of someone checking traps at night with a spotlight and makes this illegal activity. Both of these changes create opportunity for users and align statutory language with real-life application. Providing additional opportunities and simplifying rules and regulation is a top priority to the department. These efforts are geared towards recruiting more hunters and trappers, ensuring our South Dakota hunting heritage remains strong for future generations. Stand by for further questions.
Thank you. Are there additional proponents? Senate Bill 162.
Mr. Chair, Doug Abraham, an attorney from Pierre and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Landowner Outfitter Alliance. We support Senate Bill 162. We think it provides some important clarifications. As an example of that, under the existing code, if you owned land and leased land and you trapped all of it, there would be separate processes that you'd have to engage in if you were checking traps at night. This makes and clarifies that if you occupy land, that you can use the same standard for instance, using an artificial light to check your traps. That was lawful right now on your own property, but if you lease land and otherwise occupy land, it was not lawful. We think that's an important clarification and distinction and brings those two in line. It's practical, and there's no real justification for having that distinction. We also appreciate the fact that it takes into account other means, especially from a technological standpoint, of using night vision. Many of those devices now use infrared technology, which casts infrared beam that's not visible to the naked eye, but is when you're using that technology, and it accounts for that artificial light source. I also want to point out this also contains one of my favorite clarifications of any style and form of the entire session under 41.8.17, subparagraph 1. It clarifies that a person may use a handheld light while the person is on foot to take raccoons after the raccoons have been treed by dogs. Just clarifying that it's not the raccoons using the artificial light and that it's the person on foot, not the raccoons on foot using the artificial light. So we'd encourage your support. We think this is a very landowner-friendly and permissive statute, and it was an important clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abraham. Are there any other proponents? Senate Bill 162. Any other proponents? Are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Committee questions. Questions. No questions? The senator's right here. We could ask him questions. Discussion and or action. Representative Gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this is a good bill, and I want to applaud you for bringing it here, but Commerce and Energy doesn't handle with these things. So, I mean, I know I've already made the preparatory remarks, but I'd be open for deferring this to taxation.
Is there a Representative Beal? That wasn't an emotion, but go ahead, Representative Beal.
Second.
We have a motion from Representative Beal to pass on Senate Bill 162, seconded by Representative Gosh. Comments on that motion, Representative Beal?
I don't have any comments.
Representative Gosh, do you have any comments other than your moving it to taxation comment?
Nope. I would hate to say that the prime sponsor did a good job, but...
Are there any comments from the committee on the bill, the do pass motion? Seeing none, the question is, do pass on Senate Bill 162. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
McCleary, excused. Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Gibbons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Wangsness.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
12 yeas.
Having affirmative vote of the committee, Senate Bill 162 will move to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Unless there's any objection, I'd like to put this on consent. Does anybody object? Good. Senate Bill 162 will be moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation and placed on a consent calendar.
He's the one who wanted to send it. I just said.
Okay, as I mentioned earlier, and I noticed there's some faces in here who may be interested in Senate Bill 83. Senate Bill 83 is going to have final action on Wednesday, but I will take testimony today for those that would like to present testimony on Senate Bill 83. And with that, I'll ask for any proponents that cannot be here on Wednesday. Representative Reed, would you like to at least talk a little bit about the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Tim Reed, District 7. Senate Bill 83 was a discussion during the interim study on annexation and serving of electrical service between municipalities and rural electric co-ops. What's behind the bill is more communication. And that was one thing that everybody agreed on, that communication would help this issue. And I know we've got bills that have already passed through the House that'll be up in the Senate that has to do with the, you know, with an alternative way of managing what the problem is viewed as. But this bill here is very important for continuing the conversation. And if that bill, and you know, if that bill passes, that we've already passed through the House, or if it fails, this needs to stay in place because we at least need to start opening up the conversation. What this states is once a year, the municipality and utilities serving around the municipality sit down and talk about future plans. There's good protections in there to make sure you're not, because it's a public meeting, it's going to be recorded, and there's good safeguards in here to make sure that you're not publicly talking about information that, you know, is critical, you know, that is, you know, for safety purposes or, you know, for security purposes. Those kind of things don't have to be divulged, and neither does competitive kind of information have to be divulged. But at least there'll be a conversation. So I understand that you may want to delay this, but I just want to make a point that this bill needs to go through. We need this bill, and it came through the Senate with, I think, just 6 no votes, and it came through committee unanimously. And so this is an important bill to get municipalities and the rural electric co-ops to start to talk about the future and solve these problems way before that they become an issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Reed. Are there any other proponents that would like to testify today? Seeing none, are there any opponents that feel like they need to testify today? Any opponents to Senate Bill 83? Seeing none, I'm going to have a question, and I, Representative Reed, if I can ask you a question before I defer action on this. Line 6 of the bill, basically the first line, annually on or about the first Monday of May, all electric utilities serving in areas within and adjacent to a municipality. Are there situations where there's multiple municipalities involved within a co-op's region?
No, Mr. Chair, because the municipality would be, you know, there could be multiple rural electric that could be serving, or there could also be investor-owned utilities, but the municipality themselves is kind of where the genesis of the meeting has to happen. Does that make sense?
Okay. That was a question I was asking.
So the answer is actually no. So. the answer is no, but that's the reason why. You're going to have a municipality, and then you're going to have other services around that municipality.
What I'm saying is, take a co-op East River someplace, and they may have more than one municipality within the area that they serve. That would be municipal service that they would have a meeting with.
That is correct. But this puts the onus on the municipality to have the meeting. And I think they also record the meeting. So really it's the municipality's responsibility. That's why you wouldn't have more than one municipality that really be taking care of what's this bill. The rural electric co-ops may have to attend two meetings, but the municipality is the one that would have one meeting with whoever serves around their municipality.
Okay, thank you.
That help?
Does anybody have a question of the proponent? We will be able to cover all this on Wednesday further, but we are going to defer final action on this and additional testimony till Wednesday. Seeing none, thank you, Representative Reed. I'm going to defer final action on Senate Bill 83 until Wednesday. And with that, we will have to complete all the House bill or Senate bills that are assigned to this committee by Wednesday, as that'll be our last meeting before next Monday, where we've got to take action on the floor. So, any questions? Seeing none, Representative Carl Perry.
Move to adjourn.
We have a motion from Representative Perry to adjourn. That is seconded by Representative Beal. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.